last week, for those that were with us, we thought about the seeds of God's word. And when that seed is scattered, and the four places that it might land and what might happen to it. So he said that sometimes God's word is scattered and it falls upon the path. And what sometimes happens, the Bible tells us in Jesus' parable, is the birds come and snatch it away. And we said a bit like it's like the enemy of God, the devil, who comes and snatches the word away from us because he doesn't want it to grow in our lives. We said some of the seed might fall on a rocky place where the soil is shallow. And then we're told that as the sun comes up, because there's no roots in the seed, the sun scorches away the seed. And we said that that's a little bit like when faith is beginning to grow in people's lives, but then trouble comes, or testing comes, or persecution comes, and again, the seed is sort of scorched away. We said some of the seed might fall, Jesus said this, that some of the seed might fall on thorns. And what it means is as the seed grows, also alongside the seed, there are weeds. But sometimes what happens is the weeds choke the good seed. And the weed is the imperfect world that we live in, the worry that sometimes takes over, the idols, the flesh. And sometimes that's like the weeds that grows alongside God's word in our lives, and it chokes away God's word. And then finally it said some of the seed fell on good soil, fertile soil, what grows in a person's life, which deepens and which eventually bears fruit for the kingdom of God. And really, the heart of that is that God's word to me is powerful. In Genesis, in the creation story, I think you see it more than anything else. You see, God spoke, we're told about in Genesis, didn't we? And as God spoke, his word went out, there was light, there was sky, there was sea, there was dry ground. As God spoke, there were plants, there was vegetation, there was the sun and the moon and the stars. As God spoke in Genesis, we read living creatures of the sea and the air and those that lived on the land. And then finally, as God spoke, man. And male and female in his own image. There's great power in God's word. If God's word can, he can speak his word and a sun appears in the sky. That's pretty awesome. But God's word is still powerful in people's lives today. God's word, when it hits a person's life and takes root, brings salvation. It can bring forgiveness. It can transform us. It can bring freedom and identity and purpose and hope. So last week we talked about the power of God's word in our lives. It's powerful. It's transformational. It affects in people's lives. But today what we're going to say is this. Our words can also be powerful. The words that we use can also be powerful. And we're going to hear how the Bible talks about this through James 3. And Chris is going to come and read that passage for us.
Today is from James 3 verses 1 to 12, and it's called The Taming of the Tongue. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault at what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be from the same spirit. Sorry. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen.
The tongue, our words, are powerful. James says the tongue is like a small rudder on a ship, yet it sets the course. Or words can be like a small spark of fire that can destroy a whole forest. James is very honest about the problem with taming the tongue. He says it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Don't mess these words, does he? My goodness. Verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. We've been doing that today, haven't we? But also with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. And when I thought about that, I thought about just a little situation in our house at the moment, because we're having problems with our tap. Okay, and so we bought a new tap, okay, and I've actually got it here in the box. Look, here it is. There's our new tap that we've had to buy because we're having problems. All right, here it is. All right, there's our new tap. There we go. And I thought, well, this is kind of the illustration, isn't it? Because we know out of this tap, when it's fitted, you know, hot and cold will come out of this tap. You can turn the hot tap, you can go to the cold tap, you can bring them together. One spout, hot and cold. And he says that's our mouth, isn't it? That out of the same thing, our mouths can come praises and worship and greatness and good stuff, but it also can come cursing and negative and all the stuff that comes out. So obviously this is my job for this afternoon. for anyone that knows me, no chance. Good old plumbers coming round tomorrow, I think. So that's not what I'm going to be doing. No chance. If I started that job, then you'd have a flood that hit shore. But it's a good illustration. See, it says, out of the same mouth can come truth and lies. Out of the same mouth can come life, I believe, and death. Can lift up and can pull down. There can be nasty and there can be nice. We can add to and we can take away from. We can heal, we can hurt. All this can come from the same place. On one side, we know that the tongue can be used badly. it can cause real damage. We know there's that saying, isn't there? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a load of rubbish that is. Because we know that words can be very powerfully and hurt people. Words can be powerful in a bad way when they are unkind, when they are uncaring, when there is criticism or gossip or calling, when spoken from a place of selfishness or bitterness or anger. God's word tells us this as God's people. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must also rid yourself, now, as in now that you are a follower of Jesus, you must rid yourself of all such things. Such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now that you are a person who follows Jesus, a Christian, we need to rid ourselves of that stuff. Psalm 34, verse 13 says this: keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. We used to have that saying, didn't we? And it used to have a little wristband that we sometimes would wear, and it had those initials on, didn't it? WWJD. It stood for What Would Jesus Do? But it's not just about our actions, is it? Perhaps we should also have a wristband that says WWJS. What would Jesus say? Because it's about our words too. On the other side, our words can be so powerful for good. I love you. Thank you. Can I help? How are you? Encouragement. Sorry. I forgive you. Well done. Polite. Kind. Caring. We can do so much good with our words, can't we? Psalm 16, verse 24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and healthy to the body. I remember, it took me back to when we used to do this with youth groups and things, where you used to put a piece of paper on a person's back, and everyone had to go around and write on everybody else's piece of paper, and what you had to write was something good about that person. You know, they're good at sport, or they're kind, or whatever that person was. You had to think of something good about them, and you used to write it on the back. And I remember when the young people used to get it off their backs and they'd look at it, just the kind of lift that it would give them, that sense of people recognising them, something good. And it just was an encouraging thing. We used to do quite often, do it on youth weekends and things like that. Just the power of words to do something good. We can build bridges, can't we, with our words? But we can also build barriers with our words. Out of the same place comes these two things: praises and curses, good or bad. So we need to be thinking about that today a little bit more. The second thing I want to say, and it's another double really, is thinking about speaking up and staying silent. When we think about the words we use, it's not just about what words we say, I think, but also it's about when we say them, but also when not to say them. I wonder how many of us have got into trouble for saying words that we wish that we hadn't. But once they're out, we can't take them back, can we? Might we ask God, because we need to, don't we, in today's world, we need to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God for discernment. I think we need to ask God for control over our words. To know what to say, but also when to say it. to stop and think to ourselves, are these words necessary? Are they of value? Do they add or do they take away from? Where are these words coming from? Is it who I am? Is it who I want to be as a follower of Jesus? And I think this includes in text messages. It includes on WhatsApp. It includes on Facebook. It includes all these places where our words are expressed. I think to ourselves, do we stop and think and say, are these words the type of words that I need to be saying and sharing as a person who's trying to follow Jesus in the world today? When do we speak up? When do we stay silent? Proverbs 13, I love the way the Bible talks about this in so many great ways. Proverbs 13, verse 3, whoever guards his or her mouth preserves his or her life. He or she who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 11, verse 12, whoever belittles their neighbor lacks sense. But a man or woman of understanding remains silent. Might we also ask God sometimes for the courage sometimes to speak up? How many of us have had times when we've stayed silent when really we should have spoken up? We should have opposed, we should have stood for truth. We should have, you know, in a situation, but we've kept quiet, we've hidden back, because actually it's the easier thing to do when actually sometimes we're called to speak up, not stay silent. I just think we need wisdom today. In today's world, more than anything else, we need wisdom with the words that we share. We need discernment to know when to share them and when not to share them. As God's people in the world today, because as God's words are powerful, our words have power as well. The next thing I thought about as I was thinking through this topic, and it was a funny one this week, because I didn't want to talk about it. and then I actually started this message, and then I wrote another one, and then by Tuesday, I thought, I'm not doing that. So I wrote another one, or I started to write another one, and then I was like torn between the two. And then I was like, what should I do? I said to Alison, what should I do? And I said, well, normally you just go with the one that you first start. And I said, I do, don't I? You know, but so I just did. So I don't know. I'm praying it's the right message for today, but I struggled with it. Because another part of it also is, I've just put down, is a word to self. And why I put that on my notes is because I'm very conscious that we also speak words to ourselves. And often we don't speak well to ourselves. Or we listen to the whispering words of God's enemy. Our heads, aren't they, can be real battlegrounds. And I think often we beat ourselves up there. We get drawn into lies and negativity around ourselves. That's why I think in Ephesians 6, God talks about this armor like a soldier has to protect themselves as they go forward. And he talks about all these different parts of the armor, the breastplate and the shoes and the shield. But one of the pieces of the armor that in Ephesians 6 we can read about is the helmet of salvation. The helmet is about protecting, obviously, our heads. What happens inside our heads. And I think we need to recognize we need that helmet on our heads. We need God's word, God's truth covering our heads, because the battleground as we speak to ourselves is often in our heads. What I feel is that we need to listen more to God's spoken word over us. I think we need to make his voice the loudest that we listen to. His voice that says, you are loved, you are chosen, you are adopted, you are precious, you are mine, a son and daughter of the heavenly kingdom. Somebody said this, words are like currency. We need to spend them well. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over your mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a great prayer. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than them. Thanks, God. Proverbs 18, verse 13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. I like that last one because it reminds us that we also have two ears. People always say, doesn't it, why, you know, what's got one mouth, two ears, so ears are more important in some ways. And what? Because we know, don't we, that listening can also be very powerful. Sometimes we don't have to speak the words. It's about listening. Listening to people. Listening to God. There's value in listening, not just throwing our words in. And then finally, I've just put down our words, our God words. I didn't know really how to put that, but it's best I could do on my little notes. Our God words. And what I mean by that is I think it's the importance of using our words in things like prayer and praise. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the affliction hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know, there's a real importance about praise and worship for Christians. You know, as we've sung those songs today, which is part of praise and worship, it's not just about singing songs. There is real power in our praise. There is real power in our worship. And that has to be not just in the church setting. See, praise and worship draws us, I think, into God's presence. And you could say, yeah, but isn't God with us all the time anyway? Yes, he is. But in some ways, it gives us that encounter place of his presence when we praise and worship him. It helps us to turn our eyes onto him and often turn our eyes away from some of the stuff that we're trying to deal with and battle with and stuff like that. And suddenly we focus on Jesus and that beautiful song that sometimes we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, isn't it? Because the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As we praise him, as we focus on him, it puts the rest of us, of who we are, into perspective sometimes. Praise and worship is great for bringing release into a person's life. As you praise, as you worship, God releases things in us. And prayer is such an important thing. Yes, in church when we do it collectively, but also when we do it in our prayer meeting and we hang on to our prayer time in church because we feel that's an important part of being together, but also when you're outside and in your own spaces, prayer is really important. Again, for praise and for worship, prayer is important for confession, isn't it? Being honest before God and saying sorry and keeping our slate clean. Prayer is important in intercession, whether it's for the world in which we live in today, whether it's for the community in which we're part of, whether it's for people that we know, like these that we've said we're going to pray for because we want them to come back to Jesus. Prayer is an important part of that, or whether it's prayer for ourselves, and we are allowed to pray for ourselves. How many people have said to me over the years, well, I pray, but I never pray for myself. I don't feel I should. What do you mean you shouldn't pray for yourself? Why not? God's interested in you. He loves you. Yes, he wants us to pray for the war in the Ukraine or the problems in the Middle East. He also wants us to pray for our community and the issues that are going on there. He wants us to pray for them more than moan about them, to be honest. And we seem to get that sometimes mixed up. And he wants us to pray because there is power in prayer. There has to be. If we're God's people, I have to believe that. I have to believe it, not because I have to, because I've seen it. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Isn't that what the hymn says? But also there's words of declaration. I was thinking about David in the Bible, 1 Samuel 17. It says this, well, I've said this, it says, we might attribute David's victory over Goliath to the 5 stones that he carried. But let's not overlook what truly brought him victory. He spoke words of power. He declared that the Lord would deliver him from Goliath. His words set the spiritual course of victory. When I read that, I thought that's really important. Because if you read it, and I looked at it, and I started looking back at David, and I saw before it went into battle, he declared who he was and what God was going to do. He spoke out the truth. He set up the victory way before he went down to the little brook and gathered the 5 stones. He still had to do the action, by the way. He still had to go and do. But the victory was won far before then. I believe that when he declared it and he stood in who he was for God. Sometimes we have to use our words to declare, don't we? Declare God's victory in and over our lives and over the situations that face us. Stella came up to me last week when we were talking a little bit about words, and she says, and she reminded us of the importance of binding up the devil in Jesus' name. Nobody just saying, well, we believe that the devil, we are against him, we don't like him, we know he does stuff. Well, what we do is to claim the victory in Jesus' name. We have to bind him and tell him to get lost in Jesus' name. We have the power of the words that Christ has given us. And we need to use our words in proclamation. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, it's our calling, isn't it? And it's important that we speak about Jesus. Not just in church, where it's nice and safe to speak about Jesus. But we need to speak about Jesus in the world that we live in, because the world that we live in needs to know about Jesus. Not just as a swear word, not just as a maybe somebody in history or somebody that may or may not exist like the tooth fairy, but of who Jesus is. We need to tell people of the good news of Jesus. We need to tell people of the truth of Jesus. We need to tell people what Jesus means to us. We need to share our story and our testimony with those around us. We need to, and part of that is, and I've said this many times, about the power of invitation. That we invite people. You might think, I'm not very confident to share, but we might invite somebody to come and hear then, maybe in church or whatever. Somebody might say, yeah, but we've not got many chairs left. We'll get them in. In fact, if there's a lot of non-Christians, I'll kick the Christians out when I get them in first. You do that, wouldn't you? If a non-Christian stood outside there and said, I can't come in, I'm sure if you were a Christian, you'd say, well, they can have my seat, wouldn't you? Yeah. We'll do 2 services or we'll knock the wall down, I don't know, but we'll get them in. But there's a power in invitation, and we're not responsible for what they choose to do after that, but we're responsible for the invitation. Somebody said to me, sweet, I've invited a number of people to church. I don't think any of them come yet. Well, that's fine. God bless you for inviting them, because that's what you've been asked to do. Use your words to proclaim something of Jesus in this world that so needs to know about Jesus. There is great power in our words. I hope this message is important today. Psalm 19, verse 14 says this: May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a great prayer. To pray that, to wake up in the morning, to say those words, God, made my words, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Be words which reflect you, which words that reflect who I am in you. My Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. I'd like to pray into this, but before we do, we're going to sing. And I just chose the song Gratitude. It's funny because it sort of says in the song Gratitude, it says something like, at one point it says, it's more than words, and it is more than words. But I think there's real release when we're thankful, when we praise, when we offer God the true sense of what he deserves. He deserves our gratitude, and he might, you know, because of all he's already done for us. So we're going to use this song that will lead us into some prayer. Let's stand. So we're going to pray about just some of those things that we've heard today, and thinking about this spout, what's going to come out of there as we go from this place. You know, Psalm 141 verse 3 just says, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Absolutely. So what do we need to think about? What do we need to pray about? Well, it'd be different maybe for different people. For some of us, we might need to change what is coming out of the mouth, coming out of the tap of our spout. Because what's coming out is not helpful. It's not good. It's not what God wants to come out of that. It's not blessings and praises. It's curses and moans. Maybe we need to change what's coming out of the tap of our mouth. For some of us, that might be the challenge. For others, I wonder if we need to say sorry. We might need to say sorry to someone because we've spoken wrong words to them. And that person's been hurt and damaged. Maybe we didn't even mean to say it at the time, but it came from a place which was not the best in us, and we said those words, or we texted those words, or we WhatsApped those words, and they weren't the right words. Not to who I want to be as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And we might need to say sorry to that person. They might, you know, that's not easy, but we might need to ask God to help us to do that. I think for some of us, we might just need to ask God to help with his protection of our mind. Because we know it's a battleground, and the words that are going on in our heads are unhealthy and unhelpful, and they're not God words. They're words of the whispers of the enemy. They're words of the world around us. The words that says you're not good enough, you can't do it, you whatever it might be, or... And we need to put that helmet of salvation on. We need to protect our minds. And we need to proclaim God's truth over our heads. That you are chosen, special, loved, child of the living God. We need to hear God's words over us. And maybe for some we need to just make that challenge to use our words again to proclaim Jesus, to share Jesus in the world. We need to say, look, I want my words when I go out of this place to bring hope and reconciliation and love, and to lift Jesus up and to build his kingdom in my family and in my workplace and in my wherever I find myself. And then I think for some of us, finally, we need to ask God for healing. Because we're carrying unkind words in our hearts that other people have spoken to us. And it could be words that were spoken to us years ago. Or it could be words that have been spoken to us this week. But those words have been spoken to us and they hurt us. And we need to ask God for his healing. And that's not about the other person that's spoken to us. It's about us and God. So I just wonder where God might be speaking to you today and what we can pray for. Do we need to change what's coming out the tap of our mouths? Do we need to say sorry to someone because we've spoken wrong words to them? Do we need to ask God for his protection over the words that go through our mind, especially in the middle of the night? Do we need to ask God to let his words be the loudest words in our lives? Do we need to check that challenge to proclaim the Lord Jesus with our words in the world? Or do we need to ask God for healing? Healing because we're carrying the hurt and the damage of words spoken to us that were not healthy for us. And they've cemented in there. And they still hurt. And we need to say, God, would you heal us? Would you release those words? Because we don't want to carry them. That's not what God's best is for us. I don't know what God might be saying to you today. I pray that for some of you, something of God will meet you in that place. But let's pray. Lord, again, we just bow before you. We bow our heads. We come before you in the stillness and the presence of the quiet. Lord, I have spoken lots of words today. I pray that some of them at least were from you. And I pray, Lord, that where they were from you, you would use them to speak to people here today. May your word go out. May your word land in soil that is ready to grow. Lord, what do you want to do today in people's lives? I don't know. Maybe some of us need to say, sorry, we need to ask you to change us because actually the things that are coming out of our mouths are not the best. We've got involved in gossip and character assassinations. We've got involved in not being particularly nice when we need to be nice. Lord, I want to pray that our mouths, what comes out, is good and healthy and positive and adds into rather than takes away from. Lord, if that's you, would you help to change us again today? For some of us, we might need to say sorry because we know we've spoken words, maybe verbally or on a message or whatever, that's hurt somebody else. And you're prompting us, you're saying, come on. That's created a barrier. Now we need to create a bridge. Sorry is a bridge word. The person we say sorry to might not even want us to say sorry to them. It's not about them. It's about us doing the right thing as a person who follows Jesus. Some of us, God, we ask you to protect our minds because we struggle there. We battle there. The enemy whispers in and tries to bring discouragement and doubt. And Lord, we pray again that you would help us to put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation in who we are. That we are a child of the living God. Set free. No condemnation. Would your voice speak louder than any other voice in our heads, affirming us, encouraging us? And Lord, for some of us, we need to take that challenge to you, to give you our words, not just what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus say in the world in which we live in today, so that we proclaim the good news of you and the truth of you in this world that, my goodness, so needs you. Our friends, our neighbours, our family members. To tell them something of what you are in our lives. To give them that invitation to come and see. And finally, God, just for those that are carrying hurtful words in their lives. It could be words that were spoken when they were way back at school. It could be words that even their parents spoke to them. Could be words that a friend that they thought was a friend or at the time or whatever. And they're carrying words, hurtful words, negative words, words that have polluted and affected them and still affect them, hold them. Lord, would you come and heal? Would you break the lies of words spoken to us that are not your words? Lord, we know that words are important. We know that words are powerful. Help us to learn something new today. Remind us of something old. And Lord, as Stella reminded me last week, we claim it and we declare it in the name of Jesus. There is no greater, there is no more powerful name. So the prayers of our hearts, the prayers of our minds, Lord, we're speaking them out in Jesus' name. We're binding the enemy. We're claiming the victory. Lord, may we be a little bit different again when we leave this place because of your goodness to us. Come, Holy Spirit, just a moment longer. Minister to your people. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.